So we had him race a dragon from the Game of Thrones series.
Oh, man.
And, you know, I gave him a real good head start, almost, you know, a 10-second head start, and then started the animations, and then he lost by a mile.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Garrett Young. He's the production manager for the Houston Astros. He's going to tell us about his journey into event production, his time in the minor leagues, and his exciting first year with the Houston Astros. And we're here today with Garrett Young. Garrett, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing good, Justin. Thank you.
Always got to check out how Matt's doing over there. So, Gary, you're with the Astros. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do for the team?
Yeah, so I am our production manager and producer for the Houston Astros, and I work all 81 home games and postseason games, producing each game. I also help produce special events at the ballpark, from graduations to WWE matches to just anything at the ballpark. Have a hand in helping with that. Then I also crew our technical staff, from the PA announcers to the cameras to our DJ. So all those positions, and schedule them out each game. And then most importantly, I work with our corporate partnerships and sponsorship teams, kind of helping execute all the sponsorship elements, from LED ribbons to the in-game features, and then also try and help create new ideas and content so the sponsorship team can sell features and make the team some money.
Awesome. So how is that working? You mentioned you helped out with a variety of events. You have obviously the Astro home game, but then I heard you mention, you know, like two things that seem like polar opposites, graduation and then a WWE event on the other end. How is it with that kind of in your job, knowing that you have a lot of very different types of events you got to help out with?
Yeah. So from that side of things, it helps from experience. The more special events you do, the more it kind of clicks. From celebrity softball games, JJ Watt has a celebrity game at the ballpark. Oh, so, cool. Just kind of knowing, going in, working with outside vendors that come in, and creating those relationships, and really just trying to make that event unique each time. So the graduations kind of have a set list of cameras that'll obviously film back and forth. Students go back and forth to WWE, which we have in January. So that'll be a new one for me.
Oh, okay.
Nice. So I can report back to you on how that'll go in January. But I know a lot of venues have concerts. We'll have a few next year. So it's always a new experience each time with these special events, and just kind of learn from experience what each event kind of needs.
Okay. And you say learn from experience. How long have you been at the Astros?
So this is actually, believe it or not, I am going into my second year, starting in January. So I started with the team back in January this year. It was quite the year for my first season.
Yeah, an exciting one. But you have experience going way back before the Astros. You were with the Frisco Rough Riders before that, correct?
Yes, sir. I was there in Frisco for three seasons. Before that, I actually started with my first full-time job was with an independent baseball team out of the Atlantic League, the Southern Maryland Blue Crabs. Before that, I was with the Corpus Christi Hooks, the Astros AA affiliate. In 2014, and I was a video production intern, and that's kind of how I got my start in baseball.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is kind of, I always like hearing the origin stories. Is when was that moment that you realized you wanted, you wanted to be involved in this industry and you wanted to make a career out of it?
Yeah, so like a lot of college kids coming out of college, you get your degree and then say, now what? so I had a degree from Oklahoma State as just multimedia journalism in sports media.
Okay.
So wasn't really sure what direction I wanted to go in, whether it was work for a TV station, be a reporter. So I saw this video production internship open with Corpus and just took a chance. I'd never been to Corpus Christi in my life, just moved down there, not knowing one single person. And it ended up being the best decision I could ever make. I fell in love with Ballpark Entertainment working down there, just from, on the minor league side with all the fun theme nights to creating fun content for the ballpark and just fell in love with it. And that's kind of when I was like, all right, I know what I want to do.
Yeah. You mentioned some of those fun theme nights and interesting stuff you get to do in the entertainment side of it at the ballpark. We know a little bit about that from your time with the Rough Riders and doing the outfield fence display races. I think at one point we did an interview with you for a blog post and talked about some of the stuff you were doing, and you were doing some races from like a T-Rex for Jurassic Park theme.
Yeah.
And you did one for like Pirates of the Caribbean. And I joked with Jesse at one time and I said, yeah, we should get like one of those little preschool rider trucks and you could be in a Jeep and you could chase it across the display. But you had fans running and everything. Can you tell us more about that experience?
Yeah, I mean, I still to this day, that's one of my favorite things to ever kind of be a part of. And it was just so much fun making those, and the possibilities were endless. I really wish we would have had like a little miniature Jeep. A kid could have drove across the outfield with the T-Rex chasing him.
That would have been a lot.
So long story short, or to summarize it, it kind of started from watching a few other major league teams and a couple minor league teams do interactive features with their games. Really, the Pirates, they had their Super Bucko Run, I think that was the name of it. Basically, it was a Mario game out on one of their outfield LED displays. So I looked at our setup and I was like, man, we really have a unique setup with three outfield boards from left field, center, and right, with right field kind of being the longest LED display. And I looked at it and it's like, man, a lot of teams do races, dot races to the president's race to, you name it, lots of different races. So I was like, why not use our boards to do a digital race using our theme nights to, we could do our mascot characters, our team dog if we wanted to on the minor league side. That's kind of where the general idea came from. I took a chance. I was like, this may really just absolutely fail, or it could be something that could catch on. And thankfully it caught on. The first race was Rex Riders Run. And basically the fan that night raced a T-Rex for our Jurassic, our Jurassic Park theme night. I caught on. And then from there, one of the popular ones was the SpongeBob race, for our kids' days. There was one race I remember that was extremely close. I was also the operator of show control there in Frisco. And so I was the one operating the races. And there was one that I was like, oh no, the SpongeBob might beat this kid. And thankfully the kid caught up right at the end and it was a photo finish.
Nice.
That's what I was kind of curious about, Garrett, is these cool different races. And I've seen the videos, especially on Twitter. You guys did a good job of promoting them on there. What is it like having to control that? I mean, you mentioned hopefully the kid didn't beat SpongeBob's, but what is that like? I mean, you have to create the content, but then what is it like on the production side of it? How does all that work?
Yeah, so I think on the creative side, me creating all the races and knowing the exact timing of when it would go, basically the animation would disappear off the LED display and then be ready to trigger the next one and the show control buttons. That really helped me as the operator. Just knowing that timing and so and experience helped over the year as well. Each time I did a race, I would really just kind of watch one, how the person was running at the beginning, because I knew my right field display was always the longest display. And if someone was an extremely fast runner, I could start that right field display a little early to kind of add some drama to it.
Yep.
I knew the contestant would catch up. Now, like I said, the kid in that SpongeBob race, I started a little early and I was kind of sweating bullets there for a second. he caught up. So
no one wants to be responsible for having the kid lose, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Now the only races that we did have a, intentional loser was there's a personality there in Dallas-Fort Worth. His name is Groobs. He does like the Dallas Stars and lots of other venues. And so he is a little bit slower runner. And he kind of gives off the personality of just a fun, good time. So we had him race a dragon from the Game of Thrones series.
Oh, man.
And, I gave him a real good head start, almost, a 10-second head start, and then started the animations, and then he lost by a mile. it was fun. He was a good sport. There's, like I said, there was a lot of fun opportunities with our theme nights, kind of tying in those races.
Yeah, when you come up with those theme nights, I mean, even from the original idea to do this, is it kind of you bring these ideas up to marketing? Like, how cool is it to, or how, I'm not how cool or easy, but you got to be able to take a fun, cool, random idea, right, and be able to convince everyone that this is something we should try during a game?
Yeah, and it during the our time building up to the season, I actually, first created the T-Rex race, and that was kind of what I pitched to our marketing team and executive team there in Frisco. And I actually had our intern, Jeff, that year. He actually was the one that raced it.
Guinea pig?
Yeah, he was the guinea pig and did a great job. And our executive team was instantly sold on it and gave approval for the rest of the season to keep creating them.
Nice.
I got to ask, have you done any of those races yourself, or have you just been behind the curtain the whole time?
Oh, I finally did it.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. My last day in Frisco, before I started with the Astros, the team there was really nice enough to kind of set something up for me to, do the race. And, I actually did, we had Shark Week there in Frisco.
Oh,
so I created a shark race. That was one of my favorites. just with the music and everything like that, Jaws music, it was a lot of fun. So that was the race I did, and I did win, but I was completely exhausted the rest of the day.
You're running away from a shark.
Yeah, it takes a lot out of
you. Yeah.
So you mentioned that you did that on your last day before leaving Frisco and going over to the Astros. What's the biggest difference you've noticed going from minor league to Major League Baseball?
Yeah, and it's really, I will say this about Frisco. Thankfully, in the market they're in DFW, competing against the Stars and Cowboys and Rangers and Mavericks, we really had to do things at a major league level to compete against those teams, selling tickets. And so that really did help me going into the major league side, because I learned fairly quickly that everything really on the major league side is just on a bigger scale, comparative fans in the ballpark, that's a huge difference. And more eyes on the content you're displaying and videos you play to the music you play. There's always, someone's always going to have an opinion. And so you want to take everyone's opinions into consideration and just making sure you're providing the best fan experience to all your fans in the ballpark. On the production side, more coordination between departments. The Astros have a lot bigger staff than we did in Frisco, where like a lot of minor league teams, you're one day you're the mascot helping out and the next day you're the producer.
Are you saying you were a mascot before, Garrett?
I was a couple of times.
Okay.
Both in Frisco and then also in Maryland at the independent team. Okay. So I do have some mascot experience. So really it's on the major league side, there's more, each position is kind of, selective where, you know, I have a certain role. We have actually a mascot, someone in charge of our mascot orbit, to someone in charge of, the video production. So each role is very specific. Whereas on the minor league side, it's, you're doing a little bit of everything, wearing a lot of different hats, which helps when you get to the major league side, because you can always give input or, speak from experience, yeah, when it comes to working with different roles. Mm-hmm. And then finally, the big thing is TV broadcasts. I got quite a bit of experience with that during the World Series and the postseason run with the Astros, and working with Fox quite a bit on timings, from the anthem to just the postseason or the postgame ceremonies. So learned quite a bit from that, and then also working with Major League Baseball on executing their elements during the World Series.
I was going to ask how much of a part of like a TV broadcast level varies between the minor league and the major league systems.
Yeah, it's quite in Frisco. We actually had 12 TV broadcasts that I once again kind of helped at least prepare me for a little bit of what goes on in Houston. And, mm-hmm, we have our regional sports network, there that does, most of the Astros games. And then of course ESPN or Fox will come in, our FS1. And really it's just, coordinating TV timings. Everything's really based to the second on timings. Believe it or not, you know, that's what I always tell people when we have tours, we have a clock in the ballpark and we live and die by that clock. Just making sure we stay right on time for that first pitch. So it's really, that's a big thing on the major league side with TV broadcasts, is just hitting those exact times. And, on the minor league side, you didn't really, I mean, you always wanted to hit your first pitch time, but, it wasn't the end of the world if you were a minute or two over, where TV side, you want to make sure you're on time.
So, when we're talking about kind of the comparison here between the two, you know, we talked a lot about your races and stuff that you helped out with the Rough Riders. I'm not, and it's not to say you can't take everything over, but is there anything that you've learned from, you know, having those really fun nights and those kind of different theme nights at the minor league level and applied them to the Astros? Because I know, you know, Major League Baseball still has those theme nights. I've been to a Rockies game before where they did, you know, a Star Wars theme night.
Yeah, and I've seen a Fortnite theme night.
Yeah.
They do some of that stuff.
So is there anything that you've been able to do or kind of take from your time in minor league baseball to be able to help out with that?
Yeah, it's really cool. The Astros do a great job with offering fans different theme nights throughout the season. So I was really happy when I joined the team to hear, you know, they do focus on theme nights, maybe not to the extent as the minor league level, as far as, you know, minor league teams have 50 theme nights. we're a little more, you know,
focused spaced
on
out.
The baseball. Focus on the baseball and then have them more spaced out. But this past season, we had a 90s night, which was my favorite because I grew up in the 90s. And so, you know, that night it was themed headshots based around the 90s. 90s music the whole night.
Oh, wow.
A 90s themed fireworks show. We had 90s commercials. So I actually went back and looked up, you know, all your 90s commercials from Super Soakers to, you know, local Houston 90s spots that our Houston fans would enjoy with. And so that was a huge hit. We had commercial breaks, you know, with 90s commercials. And so, it does translate on the major league side. You do have to be more conscious of, you know, making sure you're not putting up material or going through the right channels, especially with Star Wars and Game of Thrones is big one, and getting approval on all that and making sure, you know, Disney as well, and making sure everyone's in the loop on the elements you're putting up. And generally there's never an issue. You just have to make sure you go through the right parties when it comes to theme nights.
Right. Right. It sounds like you went all in on the 90s. Do you have anything on the horizon that's coming up for this next season? Have you thought about yet, or are you not going to spoil a surprise?
Yeah, I don't think I can spoil the surprises yet, but I know we're working on quite a few things that I know, Astros fans will really enjoy. And, we really do focus on just every little element of those theme nights, from Orbit doing his skits to, like I said, the headshots and music. And so I think Astros fans will be in for a treat this season.
Okay.
So don't try and get him to spill any secrets, Justin, and get him in trouble.
I'm just getting those Astros fans excited to come to the ballpark for that one.
Yeah.
They're going to have to wait and see.
Oh yeah. No, we'll have lots of fun surprises for him this year.
So Gary, we've been kind of talking about, you know, the applications and theme nights and things like that. But I mean, you're obviously involved a lot in the control room, right? With all the different control systems going on. What is it like, from just a control system standpoint, going from, the minor league to the major leagues?
Yeah. And, generally in the minor leagues, you do have to, and this translates to the major leagues as well, but you really are on a tight budget in the minor league side. And so you do have to get creative in finding ways to accomplish what you would like or execute when it comes to equipment, because you may not have the same cameras or the same type of equipment a major league team has, but there are ways to kind of work around and find a way to execute what you want. It's really cool that a lot of minor league teams do use Daktronics. Corpus used them, as well as Frisco. All of our boards were DAK boards, and in Houston, everything is a DAK board. And really learning the systems, show control. Biggest change from Frisco to Houston is we just have two show control computers where our scoreboard producer can sit and our ribbons operator sits right next to him. Really, we both places we use the DMP 8000s. Believe it or not, we both in Frisco and in Houston, we still have a Venus 7000. our Venus 7000 in Houston actually operates what we call our ticker board, which is the clock that I said we kind of live and die by. But outside of that, everything's been updated in the Houston side, and really different machines. Some on the minor league side, you may use show control for everything to upload images, graphics. On the major league side, you do have a few more machines to work with, coming from the background of, you had one machine to work with. Sometimes that works well for me is I know it's going to work in the DAC system and be able to display graphics for any type of event we have at the ballpark.
Nice. Yeah. And you mentioned graphics there too. And we know that you've worked with our creative services team to get graphics. How does that process work for you?
So the creative services team has been terrific with kind of meeting our needs. So Trisha and her creative team, and then Kyle Beck is who I work with the most.
Oh, yeah.
And then Michael Cruz kind of helps. I know everybody knows Michael Cruz. Cruz will help as well. And really that creative services team, they'll work with us from start to finish. Just I'll send over our graphics package that we created, our campaign for the season, and they'll bring whatever we want to life. So from our matchup graphics, they basically, here's what we'd like. Boom, here's a few different versions that we'll send through approvals and then pick which one we like and then go from there. And send over templates where we can easily on baseball side, we do play a lot of different teams. So we have a lot of different templates when it comes to our creative work. So they'll send over a template that's easy for us to adjust throughout the season. And and really just follow through too as well. Brett always does a good job following through, like, hey, how's those graphics working? Or I know he always loves when someone posts pictures on Instagram or on Twitter and things like that, and they see their hard work displayed for the world to see. So it's really cool working with the creative services team when it comes to kind of theming out the ballpark and just making it fun for fans to see all the content.
Yeah. And do you do some interactive games too with the Astros right now? Did they help play a part in that at all?
Yeah. So this season we actually created a feature called the United Dream Destination.
Okay.
We actually had the feature before, but it wasn't performing well with what fans, on our fan surveys. And so we were trying to think of a way to make it more interactive. Even though you have one contestant, it's a way for all fans in the ballpark to join in, which is what we try and do with a lot of our features, is an all fan experience.
Yeah, okay.
So we created a game called the updated version of the United Dream Destination. And it's based off of what Daktronics calls the Who, What, Where game. And basically it's a combination of Wheel of Fortune with guessing letters within a time frame of 30 seconds. So you basically have a puzzle up on the board with all of the spaces filled in. And when you say a letter like A, hey, there's an A up there. And then on the tiles, basically a picture is underneath the tiles. And we would give a fan a free flight or vacation to these destinations. So if it was New York City, then it would obviously spell out New York City and fans would guess that. And the picture would slowly develop each letter they guess.
Okay.
So what was fun was, I think it was our Las Vegas game. It was either the Vegas or one of the cities, our fan took it. There's a 30-second countdown clock, and generally they would get it about 5 seconds or so, maybe 8 to 5 seconds. We had one fan that they took it down to 1 second, and it was so cool to hear the ballpark. I would say 95% of the ballpark knew what it was. This fan just, for whatever reason, kind of froze or just couldn't get the answer out.
Yeah.
And it was so fun hearing the ballpark just, chant, hey, it's this, it's this, it's this, and really get into it. And then obviously they got it right. And the
ballpark goes, nice. That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, they did get it right. So, I was another one of those. I was kind of sweating bullets. But it was really cool just to see the whole ballpark interact with that feature.
Yeah, it makes some drama or suspense for the rest of the fans there. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Yep.
With that, you guys were doing pretty well this season and getting more content throughout the season. Normally, your cycles are you kind of get your content before the season. Do you usually buy more content, or not buy, but look to create more content or add more content to your library as the season goes through?
Yeah, I think for a lot of teams, generally we create our templates before the season, buy all of our content to get us through the season. And what's cool is when you do make a postseason run, we call them campaigns. And so you have a regular season campaign, you have an all-star campaign, and then you have your postseason campaign. And thankfully, with the record we had this season, we knew we were going to be playing in the postseason. So it did give us a jump start on kind of creating ideas and what those campaign elements would look like. And then from there, it's kind of just giving Brett or Trisha a call and, hey, we'd like to go ahead and start working on our postseason campaigns. And it is a risk, especially if you're, say, a team close to making the playoffs. You're not really sure. But especially when it came to the World Series, we were, I think, game 6 of the ALCS. And, there was a chance we might not make it to the World Series. And so, you do have to kind of take a chance and think ahead, even though you may not make it to those rounds. Thankfully we were able to make it, all the way through to the very end. And so all that content, outside of a few things here and there, did get used. And thankfully, the creative process, you know, you are on tight deadlines in the postseason. With, you know, if you play all five games of the ALDS, boom, the ALCS starts, you know, 2 days later. So there is a tight turnaround, and that's where I can't go on enough about the creative team with Dak and just that quick turnaround of getting those graphics to us. You know, late night emails with Brett. Hey, I'm transferring over the files now, and boom, hey, they're good to go. And there's a game the next day. So, it can be a little chaos and things like that, but that's where, like, I always know, the creative team with Dak will execute and, get us whatever we need.
Yeah, because it's the quick turnaround. It's getting the content made in the first place, right? But you still have to go out and actually test all that content to make sure that it plays and looks how you want it to. So it's kind of you got a lot of things crushed into a small amount of time.
Yep. And there's many late night hours. Thankfully, my wife is very understanding. And as long as she gets to go to all the games.
There you go. So trade off. Yep.
Yep. No, she... very understanding of there's a lot of late night hours, and for a lot of people in Major League Baseball, you work 12-hour days, 10 days in a row. So it's real important to during this time of the year to one, you're still busy, but take that time, spend time with your family when the team's on the road, and it really takes a good support base to work on the baseball side of the industry.
Yeah, because it makes me think, you had how many home games did you say you did for the Rough Riders? Like,
yeah, so the minor league side, you had 70 home games. So I added on 11 games this year. Generally, if you finish, if your team makes the postseason in the minor league side, you kind of work first few weeks in September. So really, I was telling my wife, but, you know, I added on a whole 2 months this year.
Oh, yeah.
Working all of September and all of October. So it was still, I wouldn't have traded it for the world, you know, that postseason run.
Yeah. And I wanted to go back to the content side of things, the difference between minor league baseball and major league. Do you have a lot of different LED real estate with the Astros now than you had before? Is there any difference in creating content for major league and making sure that's up and running versus the minor league?
Yeah. Generally for the minor league side, a lot of teams just have one, you know, video board or maybe one outfield display. Mm-hmm. I will say in Frisco, I had 8 to work with. So that kind of actually on the Astros side, we just have our main video board, mezzanine, full ribbon display, and then an elevator display.
Okay.
So I actually had a little bit more in Frisco, but the LED screens and for the Astros are actually just on a bigger scale.
Okay.
And so with the Astros, we don't have any outfield displays. So unfortunately, I'm not able to do those races. there's other ways with our elevator display out in center field. There's a lot of fun prompts that we can do with that display. With our mezzanine and full ribbons, we've kind of incorporated fun prompts with during the postseason. Rally towels was a big thing for us. And the DAC creative team actually helped execute this idea. And, you know, anytime we'd put up those rally towel displays on the mezzanine, full ribbons, and the elevator, even if it didn't go up on the main video board, fans would just go nuts waving their towels. So nice. That is one really cool side with those mezzanine and full ribbon displays. We can do a make some noise or quick noise meter on those without having to display it on the video board, and fans respond immediately. So.
Yeah, there's always the time where you have an idea, you're doing creative brainstorming. I know you mentioned with the Rough Riders, you know, is this interactive game idea, pitching it through. And then you kind of even just saying right now, different ways to use the displays of the Astros, but then you engage with our creative services team, right? So how is that kind of, do you come with them with a lot of random different ideas and see what they can pull off, or how does that collaboration work?
Yeah, so it is sometimes random ideas that you come with, and that's where Michael Cruz is always your savior when it comes to that, because Cruz will always look into, I think we can make that happen, or let me look into
he's
the
open
coding
to it.
Seat.
Yep.
Yeah, so, it's really cool just creating those ideas and then seeing it come to life. I know with the races in Frisco, it actually opened the door to Daktronics kind of creating a few different outfield LED displays or games as well. We did the Where's Teddy game, which is almost like a Where's Waldo type game. And it went really well. Fans loved it. And so it's really cool from those races, you know, you start thinking of other ideas, like the Where's Waldo game and executing it. It just takes a few, you know, coding things here and there in the system and just thinking it through each layer. And then it's really cool to see it come to life. And I know a lot of teams, the big thing now that, you know, working creatively with Daktronics, and I would love to integrate our lighting system. A lot of teams are doing that now. With football, they're integrating, you know, everything in show control and just creating LED light displays. And so I was actually kind of able to do that in Frisco. I did a Christmas light show using the different LED displays there, but actually keyframing all that in After Effects and then importing a MOB or a MP4 file into the system and just clicking one button and boom, and off it would go with the music. So those type of things, it's really cool looking at what the, you know, your LED system can offer and thinking outside the box and then working with the creative team on trying to execute.
Yeah. You mentioned the LED lighting, and we actually were just talking a while back too with the University of Georgia. We went down there cause they do that exact same thing for their football games. They do all the lights go on red, the LED lighting goes on red, and they did, they integrated all with show control too to time with what was on the displays. And they have a red, white, and a blue lights in their stadium lighting. And so they did like a military appreciation night. And then when they had everyone on the field, they did like a red, white, and blue kind of cool LED lighting fixture down there. So it definitely is a trend. That's why as soon as you said you're interested in LED lighting, Justin and I looked at each other like we were just talking to someone about this and how you're able to make it, you know, a little bit different experience for the fans at that game.
Yeah, and it's I think it's really a trend. That's kind of the next trend I've kind of seen in the industry. I think a lot of teams from baseball side. Now, baseball is a little tricky. Thankfully, we do have an indoor, a roof over our ballpark. So the lighting does stay inside a little bit more. Some of the outside venues, you do have to kind of work around that a little bit. But that's a huge trend and where I see kind of game entertainment going with a lot of venues.
Yeah, and you're getting more creative with the different things you're able to do, like from the lighting and the different aspects of using your LED displays and using the ribbons and the exterior stuff and not the main display for like the rally towel thing you were talking about. So you get to be really creative, and you said you just kind of fell in love with it with your first job. What's your favorite part of the job?
Oh, man. I would say outside of, you know, one, getting to work at a sports venue every day, you know, looking out at a baseball field and saying, this is my office.
It's not bad.
It's really, it's really the people and the connections I've made over, going into my, sixth season now, man, six, seven, it all blurs together. I think my seventh season, now, it's been, really fun just making those connections from different vendors to minor league baseball. You know, these are people you stay in contact with, and it's really cool to see where people's careers go working for different teams they may move out of sports altogether, but it's really cool to make those connections. When you get to work with a fun group of people, creative group, it just makes your job 10 times easier. And I would say the people and the connections I've made in the industry are by far my favorite part of the job. And then really just, I love just bringing entertainment to, you know, a fan's life. Basically, when you go to a game as a fan, you know, you're trying to escape all the troubles of the world, just to have fun and just escape for a little bit. And it's really cool for my job to make sure that we're providing that atmosphere and a chance for a fan to walk into the ballpark for the first time and fall in love with the game of baseball, or just, you know, escape from the world for a little bit and have fun. So we always try and have that mindset of, you know, it's always someone's first game when they come into the ballpark, and treat that game that way. So it's always something new every night, keeps you on your toes. And that's really what I love about this job the most.
That's awesome. And you told us quite a few different stories here today, Garrett. Is there one, I don't want to say you have to pick one, but is there one memorable moment that you've had so far in your career? It can be from the Astros or Rough Riders. Like, what's the most memorable moment you've had?
Yeah, I would say that I really have two of them. And I think it was one doing the LED race myself for the first time in Frisco.
Nice.
It was just really cool to have all the staff there, and just really, really special moment for me just to kind of close out my career there doing the race one more time.
That is cool.
Myself. So that will always be one of my favorites. And then this year, it was actually our ALCS game 6. And it was a very high stress game. You know, we at that point we're up 4-2. And then LeMahieu for the Yankees hit a home run in the ninth, tied up 4-4. And it's like, oh boy, all right, here we go. Start thinking game 7, all these things. And Altuve hit a home run to win the game, a walk-off home run.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And it was just really cool. Just, you know, the control room, it's so interesting. People would think you're jumping up and down and all that, and you are in your mind, but you have to start executing. All right, when graphics go up.
Yeah, there's still work to be done, right? Yeah.
Yeah, there's still work to be done. And so it's such a fun moment, high stress moment, but a lot of fun being in it. And it was really cool afterwards, taking my wife and my father-in-law down to the field and kind of being down there with the team celebrating and just enjoying that moment was something I'll never forget.
That's awesome. Gonna say, you don't get to celebrate that exact moment, but once everything's wrapped up, then you still get that time to be able to participate and celebrate with the team. That's really cool.
Yeah, the Astros do a great job with that, of making sure all the employees that put in all the hours and hard work into the game still get to celebrate like the team does.
Yeah, that's awesome. And Garrett, I want to thank you for taking some time to talk with us today and share all these cool stories. I mean, you got to go onto the field after the game 6 and found out you're going to the World Series. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something I'll never forget. My wife was, you know, just so happy and crying, and just it was a really cool moment. Just taking pictures down on the field and just enjoying all the hard work we put in during the season.
Yeah, that's really cool. Thanks again for having this conversation with us here, Garrett. I've never been to an Astros game, but after talking with you today, it definitely makes me want to go down there and check out one.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I would love for y'all to come down and come check out our show. And it was really great talking to y'all as well, and just hoping that, you know, anything I can say sparks someone out there to join this industry. And it really is a special job to work with, and especially for anyone looking to work with Daktronics as well. Just what y'all do day in and day out, helping us with our creative content to just providing displays for us to you know, display our creative content. It's really cool to work with Dak as well.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thanks, Garrett.
Yeah, thank y'all.
Thank you for listening to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. For more information, visit www.daktronics.com.